Hey guys, welcome to episode 152 of the JV Club with my guest, Mary Birdsong. I am absolutely overjoyed that she was able to do the podcast. I think she's quite wonderful. I might have just called it a podcast. Did that happen? Did anyone else think that P sounded suspiciously like a B? I really did, guys. I really did. I want to throw some shout outs at you guys. I have been getting a lot of emails. And I need to get caught up on Facebook and Twitter. I feel like I've just sort of given up on covering Nerdist because I think most of you just email me directly or talk about stuff on the Facebook page or on Twitter. But I want to reassure you that I still look and I do and appreciate and love everything. And I guess I should encourage you to continue leaving iTunes feedback ever since that painful moment when I wasn't on a list of female-centric podcasts that iTunes put out. Guys, I'm still smarting about that. I'm still smarting about it. Here's some shout outs, guys. This is what I'm getting at. Rosalva, I want to thank you so much for your email and for your guest suggestion. I want to thank Ashley, who sent me a wonderful email, and then I got to meet right away at C2E2 in Chicago this last weekend, which was a complete joy. I want to thank for your emails, Leslie and Demetra. Elad, always enjoy talking about stuff with you. Guys, Elad sent a very interesting email to me about, just sort of the sort of disconnect that sometimes I have between kind of getting into the paranormal or the sort of metaphysical and mystical versus science. And all I can say is I thought his feedback was very valuable. And I also am just, I don't know what I'm talking about most of the time. And if I make it sound like I know what I'm talking about, I apologize. I feel like I sort of sway far on the other side and talk about how much I don't know anything. But it is a conversation I'm always excited to have. I love talking to people who are super skeptical, people who are embracing the wonders of science, people who are embracing the magical. And if anything, I've proven that I can sort of side with any person at any given time. I'm extremely suggestible. Don't ever elect me president. I also wanted to thank Heather for your thoughts and your recommendations on someone to check out reading-wise. I want to thank sweet old Gabe, who experienced a tornado warning recently at his workplace. I'm very glad that you weren't swept up by a tornado, my friend. Xanth, I want to say hello to you in Australia. I want to say hi to Kendra, who gave me a wonderful necklace at C2E2. And I want to thank Samantha and Caitlin and Jose for your emails, my loves. You're wonderful. I am getting very excited indeed about heading to Australia and New Zealand. I hope to have podcasts backed up enough that I won't have to take any time off from the podcast when I'm doing that trip. And I hope you guys are looking forward to the Boys of Summer series, because rest assured, I am on top of it. I will be redoing it. Redoing it makes it sound like I'm going to go back and do the ones I did last year over again. Not the case, guys. Not the case. I've got some fun guests planned. And as always, I welcome any feedback and personal exchanges you'd like to have with me. This is a very peppy intro indeed, guys. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Also, I said guys 30 to 40 times. Okay. Bye. Enjoy the podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Amazing instant jokes. Well, I'll tell you what, I am right now. So no gem like 1921, yes. Forever 1921 is going to be off the books. No, it's yes. On the books. That's what we call podcasting, right? It's getting something on the books.
Is it?
I just wanted to get it on the books.
On the books?
I don't know.
Is that a pod term?
I don't think it is. I'm not sure anyone uses that at all unless they're talking about putting something in a schedule like an address book.
You know, Janet is sitting on the floor.
Would you like to come down to my
because
level?
She is big on the Oriental culture. And I am going to join her.
And for sure, also, people do still say Oriental.
Sure.
There's no question about
right?
it.
Like people who sell furniture?
Yes, yes.
They don't say this is a lovely Asian piece.
They might, though. But like, you're right that it's still okay to say something about an Oriental rug. You can still say that.
Okay.
Right?
This is a Ching Ching rug. You can't say that.
God. They haven't renamed the Orient Express, have they?
The Asian Express.
I mean, That feels disappointing. So,
the Eastern Hemisphere Express.
The Eastern Hemisphere Express I could almost get on board with over the Asian Express. That just sounds like takeout food. Mary Birdsong, I welcome you in.
Hi.
I welcome you in. You know, I don't usually think in advance about what I'm going to talk about with guests once I have them on the books. Now, see, that works because that was a schedule. That was a reference to a schedule. Mm-hmm. That was me saying I scheduled you to podcast mm-hmm, so I could mm-hmm, say on mm-hmm, the books. Mm-hmm.
That had like a double meaning.
It had a double meaning. It had a double meaning.
That's called an entendre.
It is. It is called an entendre. I brought you on for your knowledge. I brought you on for your knowledge.
I'm
pure,
a linguist.
It's a pure knowledge. It's a pure knowledge episode. No, it was, I was sort of thinking about it. For some reason, I was thinking about it more than usual. Maybe it's because I've wanted to podcast you for a long time. But I was thinking to myself, like, I feel like I've known you for many years now. And I actually still don't know the origin of your last name. And I thought, I got to get that squared away ASAP on the books.
Birdsong
live
on the books.
In person on the books.
Well, it is okay. The myth is
because it's like the best last name in the history of last names.
Thank you.
We can agree on that.
Thank you. Great. And my whole thing is I'm sad because I didn't want to have children, but I didn't want to.
Okay. No, no one's accused. I'm sorry.
I could have.
If you felt that you got any kind of a vibe or a look from me, I wish
if you guys could have seen the look she just gave me, it was really
clear.
I threw
you some serious shade.
No, but I didn't want kids, but at the same time, like I wanted the name to be passed down and there's nobody else to pass down the name Birdsong. So I remember years and years ago when I thought I still might have kids, I was like, I'm going to find a man who is willing to take my last name.
Yes. Yes.
Like crazy feminist guy.
Right.
Or, you know, basically a gay guy.
Uh-huh.
And, or now I thought, what if I just marry a guy whose name is already Birdsong?
That seems like a reality show I fear and would also hungrily devour.
But I would still hyphenate it.
Yeah.
So it'd be Mary Birdsong, Birdsong.
I still like it.
Okay.
I still like it. Have you met anyone with last name Birdsong? No.
I have, actually.
Have you?
Yes. And by and large, the last name Birdsong is one that belongs to African Americans.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, you know, what the origin of their families is. I know for my name, it's German.
Okay.
It was German originally. It was a Vogelgesang.
Oh, all right.
Right.
All due respect to German.
Right.
I'm okay with it being switched over
to
English.
Yeah, right. In the 1600s, they came over.
Okay.
And were like, we hate sauerkraut. We want to be American.
Sure.
How about the name Birdsong?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound German.
Yeah.
People will forget we're jerky Germans.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
In the 1600s, even, they were worried.
That's what happened.
We
they
have
said
flashed forward to the 1930s, and we are very, very not proud of ourselves. So let's preemptively change our last names to Birdsong.
I have a feeling we're going to do something messed up.
That's right.
In
that's
about
right.
300 years.
A few generations from now, Shit's going to go horribly, horribly wrong.
And I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
It was German. A lot of people think it's Native American.
I guess I was prepared for that to be possible, because you also look like you could have some wonderful American Indian blood.
And I do have a little bit.
Well, there you go.
Which I think is Choctaw.
Okay. All right.
But that shows you how educated I am on it. But I actually joined the website 23andme.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a plug. I'm not a paid spokesperson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's cool. You can send them a DNA sample.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You did that.
And I was upset because I was like, I know I'm Jewish. And nope. Not a smidgen.
Interesting. And what made you think that you must be?
Because, A, I love Jewish guys. Mm-hmm. I've always almost exclusively dated Jewish guys, but I've veered away from the tribe somewhat. But also, it just feels familiar.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way I can describe it. I feel a great affinity with Jewish people that I meet. I just went to a Passover Seder, and, like, I was explaining, like, the history to them. I'm like, no, it wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. And see, Moses, really, it was a military campaign. Like, people were like, what is she talking
Why
about?
Why does she know this?
Why did you invite her?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so it is kind of cool to see, you know, how your percentages add up. And I'm kind of like 97% European, I guess.
Right,
but
right. I mean, I'm sure I can't imagine that I have anything. Because also my mom's side of the family being Mormon, interesting, but not something we can talk about here because don't need to. But they're very good genealogists, right? So at least on my
mom's side,
I feel like I have a lot of information about who everyone was because someone already went and did that work for me. On my dad's side, I guess I don't know as much, but I just don't expect that many surprises.
Mm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry that your number one surprise was that you don't have Jewish
ancestry. I know. But what are you going to do? So yeah, that's my name, Birdsong. It's real. I have a birth certificate. It's real. You know, and I hated it as a kid.
And are you an only child?
No.
You have a sister.
I have two older sisters. No.
Get it right, Birdsong.
Look, my name is Tracy.
This is not a test.
I don't know. I just wandered into your house. I don't know where Mary is. Mm-hmm. I didn't kill her. No, I have an older sister and a younger sister that I grew up with, okay, and an older brother that I grew up with. And then I have two younger half-sisters.
Okay.
That I
older
did not grow
brother
up.
Passing along Birdsong name is what I'm getting at.
He's not
going to have kids.
He had a little girl named Allison, but she, it's complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't have his last name, I guess. And at the end of the day, that would be the end of that story. God, what are we going to do about this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Should I make this my number one goal?
The thing, okay, I would have a child if I could just have a baby and then give it away.
Okay.
Like at four. Maybe okay. six, if yeah. it's really still cute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Interesting. So that's, because I think in my struggles to understand my own complicated feelings about motherhood, I have sort of had the reverse thought, which is like, if I could just have a child that somehow was magically already four, but did come from my body, because I don't do as well. I mean, I like toddlers well enough. Little babies, I just don't feel, I know a lot of people feel like this. I just don't feel a closeness. I don't feel a magnetism to little babies. I like babies, but I get really excited about people's. I really hate babies. No, I just get more excited about people's kids as they become two and three and four.
I get it, and
I can talk with them, and like we can toddle around together. I'm
but
a bit
then,
of a toddler.
But then at like seven, eight,
yeah,
to like
you're done.
15, you like I'm it? Like,
jerks.
Ew.
You think they're a bunch
stop
of jerks?
Talking.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know I don't want to play with you. Like, I'm just like, no.
Kid hater.
Go to school. Kid learn something. Like, oh, no. You know what I mean? But like now my niece is like 17, and I just took a road trip with her and her mom, and it was so much fun.
That's great.
So maybe it's like infant, newborn, you know, till like 5, 6, and then I send them away until they're 17
to a cruel boarding school where they
like
receive
Temple.
No love whatsoever. Right.
Yeah,
and then they reconnect with you, but somehow don't resent you at all. It's just a wonderful reunion that feels like it was best for everyone. Your child inherently understands you were not meant to mother them through those difficult, difficult times.
But that is interesting. I forgot. I didn't realize that. I mean, you're younger than I am, but yeah, it's kind of becoming this, I don't know, it seems like it's becoming a hot topic in a way.
Whether or not to have kids?
Yeah, and that people are at least stopping to sort of ask themselves if they want to before they do it, which I think is good no matter which what way you decide.
Yeah.
But people still look a little like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So are you going to adopt?
Yeah.
It's selfish. Like they just,
it's
treated with a lot of like, suspicion. I think
suspicion is probably a good word for it. And I also, I kind of butt up against this every time this conversation comes up, even in my own head, which is I don't have a sense of what the rest of the United States is doing, because I feel like I know a lot of people who have made the active choice not to have kids, but I don't know that that represents, you know, any kind of an even close to approximation of what's going on with people, those people same ages, like in the rest of the country. I think probably in the rest of the country, most likely you're still just going to have kids because that's what you do. Maybe. Yeah.
But like breeders.
I said, I don't really know. Be a breeder. Yeah.
Like I totally think like I'm a gay man now. That's when I look at like every commercial you see on television, it's, you know, and I now I feel like a jerk because I think I said this on another podcast, but who cares? But honestly, like if you really look at it from like, just pretend for a day you can't have children or something. And if you watch television, it's like every commercial is just like with that wink, wink, like, oh, kids, you know, we know, don't we?
Right.
Because we both had children. Like, it's like, that's why you need to buy this product, because you have children.
Yeah.
It's like used in so many ways to sell stuff, like probably just as much as sex is, you know? So just leaving you with that deep thought.
And now how are sex and children connected? I guess I'm not sure how.
Well, I mean, advertisers
I'm
like
totally
you. Oh, okay.
That was just a way for you to say, you know, that
the
sex
man
makes babies,
puts
Janet.
His...
That's right. When two people care about each other very much, man and woman. I don't agree with anybody who's not a man and a woman having sex.
What
guys,
is that about?
That is the opposite of everything I've ever said on this podcast. So if anyone doesn't realize that sarcasm,
abomination.
We're in a lot of trouble.
Welcome to Abomination Talk.
It's Abomination Talk. Did I not tell you that was the name of the podcast? I'm embarrassed. I should have mentioned that. But yeah, I think the question of sort of what's selfish and what's not is definitely kind of on the table now when it comes to stuff like that. And also, I guess just maybe people who are parents are being more honest about what's really hard about it too. I don't know. I feel like I have more friends who are willing to be honest about the moments they hate their children and the moments that they know with beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was the best decision they ever made. You know, yeah. Those two things. And I think for a long time, we maybe only heard about, grinning your teeth going like, it's the best decision always.
I know. Mm-hmm. I actually had a woman not too long ago do the unthinkable to me, which was like, I got to tell you, honestly, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't do it. Mm. Yeah. Not for me. I love them. Mm-hmm. All my heart, but I wouldn't do it. And I was like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like I felt like codependent with her children.
Yeah.
Like, you hate your children. No, she didn't say she hates children. She said like, it's like, oh, I wouldn't have been a lawyer if I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was wild, but that people really are willing to do that. I don't think they ever would have even said those words out loud.
I think that's a really good point.
So
stuff's rising to the surface, everybody. Mm-hmm. I wonder if part of that is like, maybe that the earth, it really is straining under the amount of people that exist on it. And I wonder if there's a weird Darwinian earth Darwinian thing happening where somehow that's creeping into our species in a way that's deeper seated and more genetic than we even realize. That like,
that's
we think that it's just progressive. I've never thought this or said it before, but that we think that it's just progressive culture that's kind of creating a situation.
But there's something biological driving
it. I wonder if there is something kind of underneath the surface.
You need
that's
to do
like,
a thesis.
Should I go back to school?
Maybe.
Is this what school is? Am I back
in school?
Seriously,
I've never heard anybody say that before, and it kind of makes sense. I mean, you could even apply like the fact that homosexuality is accepted more in popular culture right now. Like that's moved really fast in the last 50 years, even though it has a long way to go.
I mean, like, the procreating just in general, maybe somehow biologically is we're being triggered about the fact that it's not as important somehow.
I think it has some meat on the bones there.
We'll see. I don't know.
You heard it here first.
I mean, this is going to be, and then just, I'm just bombarded with like every scientist ever hears about this and is like, you're a fucking idiot.
And you're like, look, I'm a dentist.
Yeah.
I know stuff.
I didn't pretend to know anything for certain except about teeth. Now, if you want to talk to me about teeth, I could talk to you forever about teeth. Mary, where did you grow up? Where were you a teenager?
I grew up in South Jersey. Mm-hmm. On the Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've had some Jersey Shoreans, I think.
Yeah. And I have not, I actually have not been, it's a place called Long Beach Island. Mm-hmm. And I have not been there since Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a long, skinny, like strip of land. I guess it's a barrier island is what they call it. And apparently.
So it takes the fall for the rest.
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently, we used to always be warned about this, like, stay off the dunes for, you know, it's going to erode the island. And we're like, yeah. But in the Sandy hurricane, apparently it dissected the island in 5 places.
Wow.
Like, it was already that narrow.
Yeah.
You know, so the bay and the ocean basically, like, went like, you know.
Ooh.
Scary.
Do you have friends who are still there, friends and family or no?
I do. Yeah. I do. My mom is still in South Jersey, but she's on the mainland.
How much was she affected by Sandy?
I think like a tree went down and they didn't have power for a bunch of days, but she was like, we just played a lot of cards.
She made it sound so pleasant. She made it sound really pleasant. Do you get back very often, period? Is it like a weird coincidence that you haven't been back there since Sandy?
I haven't talked to my family in 30 years.
Oh my
Janet.
God. Oh no. Boy. Well, listen, this is the kind of juice I've been trying to get out of this podcast from the beginning.
No, I actually, I used to get back more because I was bi-coastal and I had a New York apartment, which I really miss. But
that sounds really nice.
But I still get back, and now probably it's going to happen a little more because my mother is getting to that age where, like, you know, stuff is happening, and my sister and I have to kind of, like, have little hushed conversations at the nearest Walmart, mm-hmm. like, in their little diner part. Mm-hmm. I remember we had, like, a meeting. Uh-huh. She's like, let's go to the Walmart and have a meeting before you kill our mother.
Right.
Because she drives us crazy. But she's... totally sweet and wonderful. And but it's weird. It's weird to be at that age where you're having to do that stuff.
Yeah, I never feel well, especially as I can't believe I'm about to say this. Someone who doesn't have kids, you don't have that. You know, I don't know. There's I don't know if that makes it harder or easier, if it prepares you or it doesn't prepare you. But the idea of taking care of children and then the kind of relationship to when your parents start needing to be cared for in that way, not exactly the same way, but not that far off
right.
as they age.
Well, and I think that the kids are meant to be there. So you're like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Somebody's going to be here to like, you know, clean my diapers.
Yeah.
You know, but like you can't do that. You right. know what I mean? It's just like, I think it's sort of a rite of passage. Like you stop being somebody's daughter and you are now somebody's mom, and that's the way it works, but not in this equation. So, yeah, it's trippy.
Is your sister married?
No,
she is. Yeah. Now I'm just butting into her business.
Mm-hmm. No, my sister is married. She has 6 kids.
Whoa.
She lives on like,
she had your kids and her kids.
Mm-hmm. Like a farmhouse in like Amish country, Pennsylvania. Like we could not be more different lifestyle wise.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Were you super different growing up? She's the person that you were sort of closest to, it sounds to me, versus your
yes and
half,
no.
Like halves? I was, do you have halves or steps?
I have halves.
Halves on your dad's side?
Who grew up in Kentucky. So I just don't know them as well.
And then your older brother.
My older brother and my older sister, Anne, is 3 years older. And my younger sister, Veronica, is 7 years younger. So I've been close to both of them. Like right now, I've been spending more time with my older sister. So that's been really fun. We were very different growing up. She was in Flags. Do you know what Flags is?
Yeah. I feel like I didn't know what Flags was until I started doing this podcast. And I think maybe someone was in Flags because I remember very recently being like, I don't know what that is. You're speaking a different language to me. It's like cheerleading, but it's Flags.
I guess so.
It's like band. It's like a cross between band and cheerleading.
Yeah, it's like Flags? You kind of play an instrument, but it's a flag.
You know? Nope, I am lost again.
Kind of like you shake pom-poms, but it's a long pole with a piece of fabric on it.
Yes. I mean, I feel I've seen people twirling flags.
And you usually wear a hat that sort of looks like a cowboy hat, but also like you're from Australia.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
Cute little boots. But I remember I used to watch her practice her flag routines.
That's your younger sister.
No, my older sister.
Your older sister is in Flags.
Yeah. So she had, you have routines.
Yeah, because 7 years younger, you weren't seeing so much of the school life.
No.
Got it.
But, you know, and it was a very small town where we grew up on the island. Like, there's a very small year-round population because it was such a tourist place. So it was weird. Like, there were no traffic lights in the wintertime. There was maybe a McDonald's like 45 minutes away.
Oh, wow.
And like when we got that, we were like, oh, we have a McDonald's. And like, I remember we got like a Chinese restaurant.
It was Oriental.
Oriental.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so I would watch my older sister do her flag routine and just be like, someday. I can dream. And I didn't wind up going for that. I wound up going into... theater. Like I tried to do sports and I was like, I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
Is it okay to curse?
What did you try to do? Yeah, it is.
Like I remember I was trying to do basketball because like that was cool. Like girls, for whatever reason in my grade school at that point in the 70s, and I mean the 2070s,
that's right.
I went to high school in the future because I'm that young. But it wasn't cool to be like the typical things, like a cheerleader, that was considered like really uncool. Because they weren't very good, their costumes weren't cute, you know. But it was cool to be a jock. It was cool for the girls to be jocks, and like to get into fights and stuff.
Oh my!
You know what I mean? And you wore like tuckskin jeans and like Levi corduroys with a comb in the back pocket.
Okay, all right.
That was the deal.
Now I just have I'm basically putting every woman's face onto the body of Danny Zukov. That's what I'm imagining.
I think it's more like Christy McNichols, sort of.
Yep.
What's that really movie? Little Foxes.
Little Darlings.
Little Darlings.
There was a movie called Foxes too. Jodie Foster was in Foxes, and Tatum O'Neill and
I conflated those.
Yeah,
that's
understand.
That's a great word.
It is
right?
A great word.
Conflated.
I love having you as a scientist of words. You conflated those. Tatum O'Neill and Christy McNichol were in Little Darlings, and I even I. which I saw it on like videotape. I remember being like kind of influenced by that movie. It seemed very
daring. There was kind of like a tomboyish thing happening. And so I went into, I tried sports. I like tried track and I was chubby. Like I was super chubby. And I came from a big family, like not big in numbers, but like big in size, girth, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And
I will.
Girth, girth.
I will.
Girth.
I will and I do.
And I hate it. I was like, God, I have to stay after school till like 5 and run. I'm tired. I want to watch cartoons. Yeah. Need snacks.
Yeah.
Shitty generic brand snacks that aren't even the good snacks. Mm-hmm. But, and then I tried basketball, all 5'2" of me. And again, I was like, I'm just staying out of school. Yeah. But then
basketball's exhausting.
Yeah.
I feel I've complained about basketball.
And I just
before,
didn't understand
and I think
it's
very
it.
Cool.
Yeah. I didn't understand where I was supposed to stand, where I was supposed to run.
These are all things that are true for me about basketball. Yeah. And I'm 5'10. So I should have been like.
Yeah. And soccer, too. Like, I was like, I do not know where you want me to run.
Yeah.
Like, I can kick a ball.
Yeah.
But I just know where's the logic.
And in soccer, I feel like there's a lot of time that you don't get anywhere near the ball. You're just running back and forth on the field, which I find very athletically impressive.
And I think, you know, looking, I just realized this just now. I think part of the reason sports didn't appeal to me is because they were team sports.
Not a team player.
You didn't get to be like, look at me, everybody. Right. You know, but, and I remember I even tried like extra, what do you call it? Extramural, like stuff that's outside of school.
Oh, extra. Yeah. That because intramural would be in.
Yeah.
Extra,
like there were cheerleading troops that were outside, which people would do and were kind of cool. But I was on the shitty ones, like junior peewees. Like I wasn't even a peewee. I was a junior peewee. And just the sweater was really hot, you know what I mean? And I just some girl swallowed a bumblebee. It was just, it was a nightmare. Bad shit could go down. So I think my best friend at the time, who was kind of like the class brain, she talked me into auditioning for a play together.
And when was this? Like in freshman year? Or was
I think
it,
this
or
was sophomore year, sophomore or freshman year. And so she kind of like pushed me into it and then I was like, oh, I really like this. And then I was like, I will stay after till midnight. You know what I mean? That I just felt
you found your thing.
Yeah. And I was like, look at me, you know, pass me the ball.
Right.
Wait, where's the ball? There's no ball. In
We're
theater.
Doing space work. I'm pretending there's a ball.
But yeah, that was really fun.
Was your family surprised or had you kind of been like the family?
Yes and no, because like I was crazy shy when I was little. And like, I think when I was about 5 or 6, which is when my parents got divorced, like that's kind of when I started like doing little performances out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like I'd be super quiet. And then all of a sudden I would like have on a wig and a skirt and be like, hit it, Harry. And be like, what are you doing?
And where did she get that wig?
Yeah. And it was so my way of like connecting to people without having it be scary and like, I don't know what you're going to say and I'll have to say something back, which I still suffer from, you know. And I think that performing in its own way is a great tool for like a control freak because you dictate like who is talking, you know what I mean? You have to sit there and listen. There are rules. And then you have to usually applaud unless it's like horrifying, you know. And then you can say something.
Right.
You know, and you try to, you know, hang out for as little as possible after the show because that's, you know, awful.
Yeah.
And because
I've never been
smiling.
That person either. I really, boy, the on and off switches I feel are so dramatic for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I'm done performing, I like to sneak out the back.
Yes. I'm like, I just worked really hard for you people. I'm not going to stand around and smile and talk about like, so are you in LA now? Like, I don't know. I don't know. That's just another performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're like my, you know, bestest friends or my family or something.
Right.
Like the people who would like go hang out at the dumpster with me behind the shitty comedy club or whatever it is you're performing in.
Yeah. And so with high school, that sort of, was that just kind of like dramatic? Like how was the theater department in your small school?
It was, I mean, it was very ambitious in that they like built these amazing sets and that the teachers that were involved with it were really, they were into it. You know what I mean? They really wanted to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like, I'll give you an example. Like they considered me like the friggin', I don't know, like Anna Magnani or like Meryl Streep of Southern Regional High School because we did Fiddler on the Roof. And I remember like I was one of the few girls who was willing to not have her bangs poof out of her babushka. Right? Because it was the 80s in Jersey. They were some crispy stand up straight bangs.
God, sure.
Right? And it's Nobody cared about authenticity. But we're going to have our bangs show.
Right.
I worked on them for 3 hours this morning. And I was like, mine are under my babushka.
Because
I'm not Mary.
Meryl Streep.
I'm Golda.
That's right. That's amazing.
But yeah, and also, I mean, I forget this sometimes, but because I didn't grow up with my dad in the house, there were three men mostly who were at the helm of, you know, like the choral director guy, and they did a lot of musicals, and the English teacher who was really smart and funny, and they were very like surrogate sort of father figures now that I look back on it. Mm-hmm. Like, they really took me aside. They're the ones who kind of said, hey, psst, like, maybe you should do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, psst, nah.
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you have another idea in mind, or were you just a kid like me who sort of didn't have a goal?
I had no idea. I was going to like study French because I knew like I had an ease with like with languages. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed my French class and went on like the class trip to Paris. That's a good story. My mother actually, like, we couldn't afford to go, and my mother wanted to surprise me by sending me somehow, like getting the money. So she borrowed $300 from a priest that was friendly with and kind of had a crush on, Father Henriksen, and took that money to Atlantic City. And won $2,000 in blackjack.
You're kidding me.
Yep. And I was watching. She had to take and my little sister with her.
That's an amazing story.
Right? She took me and my little sister, who was like 9, I think, because I was 16, to the casino with her because she didn't have a babysitter or whatever, in our shitty car. And I remember we had to watch her like playing blackjack. I had no idea what she was playing for,
right,
like what she wanted to win. And I was annoyed because I was like hanging out with my 9-year-old sister.
Right.
Stop talking. You're embarrassing me. And there was no cell phones. There was no tweeting. There was no, you know. I didn't even have like a fax machine like that I could fiddle, you know.
Yeah.
But and at that time, I think it's still this way. If you were, I wasn't 16 yet. I was about to turn 16, because if you were under 16, you weren't allowed on the gambling floor.
Oh.
So we were like looking down, like 200 feet down, at my mother, who's in like a white lace blouse.
Uh-huh.
You know, very primly, like playing blackjack.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
So Paris.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
I guess she was a good...
She
knew what to play. She knew her odds were best for her with blackjack.
She was kind of good. And what's that movie? Is it The Hustler with Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Like, she had a little bit of that going on because she had this baby doll voice. And she looked like somebody you would walk up to and ask direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, she looked very sweet and maternal.
Yeah.
And very, you know, quiet. But then, like, bam, she would... Like, she knew her numbers. She was smart.
That's so cool.
But yeah, there's lots of great, like, crazy stories like that about my mom, you know, and it, like, for everything that I could tell you and my therapist that she did wrong, like, there's also some like really stupid thing she did that is so sweet and misguided, but like just trying to, you know, do that. You come home and there'd be like a big goose in the tub, or there'd be like a deer in the backseat of the car. And, like,
oh my God.
You know, so you would just
amazing.
Like kind of roll with it and, you know.
Kind of roll with it, you know. Deer in the backseat.
Yeah.
What? So she was raising three kids.
Wait,
or was your brother
and
old
Veronica
enough,
and my brother four?
Four. Oh God, I keep forgetting you have an older sister and a younger sister. God,
yeah.
With a pretty wide age range too.
Yeah.
And did she remarry?
She did not, but she had a one boyfriend for 39 years.
Okay.
Who, if she was like Blanche DuBois from Streetcar, he was her Stanley Kowalski, because he was totally uneducated, you know, construction, like Polak, you know, been in that area for centuries. He'd talk really fast. Uh-huh. Talk really fast, Kathy. Jesus Christ, Kathy. He was always flummoxed, and like, she'd make him watch like British movies with subtitles, you know, like not British movies with subtitles, but like European films or like British films, and they didn't have subtitles because they were English, but they talked so fancy that like he couldn't understand.
Right.
So she would kind of, oh, Bob, he said he's going to the chambermaid's room. A chambermaid. It's somebody who cleans. Oh. She would just get so mad at him.
39 years somehow.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. What was she? So she was fairly well educated in comparison.
She was. She went to LSU. I don't think she graduated because she got pregnant, but she was very, you know, she was an Anglophile. She loved poetry. You know, she was just very strange. Like, not of, she seemed like she should be at like the turn of the century or something.
Yeah.
And like, so delicate. Like, you just are like, are you going to cry? Like, oh my God. She just was a very fragile little, you know, glass and that's menagerie.
Definitely not how I see you at all. I'm sure not how anybody who sees
Can you imagine?
Things. Yeah.
And yet when I was little, I was actually a lot like her because I was so shy.
Yeah.
And so performing and being like, hey guys, who wants to party? Uh-huh. Like, that was my like ticket out.
Sure. Sure.
Of shy hell.
Sure.
And also like I discovered like drinking, like parties. I was like,
well, that was my next question, I guess, was sort of like, how did you being this kid who then kind of unlocked all of that in theater, you know, what was your social life like? What were your relationships with boys like? That kind of thing.
Yeah, like my best friends, I think when I was younger, they tended to be like goody-goodies, mm-hmm. kind of. But I had like very different friends, which troubled me. I don't know if you had this, but like they were so different and they were in different like sort of social circles. So if we were ever in the same room together, I felt very confused.
Because mm-hmm.
I was like, oh wait, I'm this person with Jen Reisig, but I'm this person with Nancy Bianco, right. And I'm this, and I'm the nerdy girl with Nina Tool, like, who am I?
Sure, sure.
So I'm basically a bullshit artist, uh-huh. and a sycophant.
Uh-huh.
And, but I was, for the most part, like straight A's, like really, you know, on the good. And not necessarily because of choice. I think I just wasn't invited to like the cool. Mm-hmm. And there was very much that thing, like, I know Amy Poehler right now has that thing, Smart Girls, mm-hmm. which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I know when I was going to school, it was very uncool to be smart.
Mm.
And so, and I was in what they call AP classes. That's
sure.
advanced placement.
Sure, sure, sure.
Kids. And so they were kind of small classes and there were a lot of nerds in them. And I remember like, I wasn't super nerdy, but I was nerdy enough to be in there. And I secretly would like long to go into like the remedial class, like, or not remedial, but
where the cool kids were.
Where the cool kids were.
Yeah.
And, so I kind of didn't get in that like world where they were like partying and just hanging out at the mall or whatever. And, but I think senior year, I had a couple of friends that looped me into that. And I remember, actually, before senior year, I had like a total after-school special moment where one of the cool kids was like, do you want to sit at our table?
Amazing.
In the cafeteria.
Amazing.
And I knew she didn't mean my best friend. And so it was like dramatic music. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Here's my opportunity.
There's Tatum O'Neal and Christy McNichol That's looking right. at me.
That's right.
What do I do?
What did you do?
I did the right thing.
You sat with your friend.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes.
What did you say? Just like, I'm going to go over here.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, we have to talk about such and such. We have to do our homework or something. Yeah. And she's, I mean, I'm actually still in touch with her. She's a good person. So it wasn't necessarily by choice. It wasn't like I was some like morally superior or like boring person. I just didn't have access to those parties.
Yeah.
So I hadn't even had a drink, I think, until I was 18. With the exception of Nancy Bianco once made me drink blackberry brandy. That was my first drink. Nice, right?
Amazing.
On Long Beach Boulevard, the main drag of Long Beach Island. I remember we drank it on the beach and then we're doing like cartwheels down the boulevard late at night.
Perfect.
You know, like classic.
Yeah.
And then I remember senior year, I went to a couple of parties and I remember like I somehow became like the beer wench for the card game. And I was like, okay, this is good.
Right.
This is good. And I just discovered, like, wow, I really take well to alcohol. It was the silver bullet that unleashed the Kraken of, you know, that made me just feel, like, confident and sexy and fun and, like, who cares what you're thinking of me? Pass me another tall boy.
Right.
Or Bartles and James wine coolers. Remember those?
Please.
So that was kind of cool. Like, I remember, like, one night I went, like, skinny dipping. Like, it was just, like, night and day. But it was fun to know, to like at least get a taste of that before I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when I went to college, like you know, I still wasn't like full on like party girl, but yeah, I had a few good memories.
Yeah.
Of, sounds you know, like falling on my ass in Little Italy and just all stuff like that.
Yeah. I always go back and forth between like how much of an advisory figure I feel like I can be because I did so much messed up stuff when I was younger that I feel like I'm lucky to have escaped, but I also feel like a certain amount of that is inevitable anyway, and you sort of hope for the best for everybody. And
yeah,
but what about boys? Did you have boyfriends or did you?
You know, when I was 16, I guess I got a boyfriend who was really serious. He was 6 years older than me.
Oh wow! Mm-hmm. How'd you meet him?
He was the chef at the Silver Rams Greenhouse Cafe. His name was Gus Majorino. You probably heard of him. He won the chowder contest 3 years in a row.
Did you work there?
I worked there as a waitress.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
All cute in my uniform.
Yeah, sure.
Ugh, gross.
Gross that you were with someone who was 6 years older than you?
Yeah.
How long were you guys together? When you say serious, you mean like it was serious, like
he
was
a serious
dude? Or
2 years.
Wow, that's a long time. And how old were you?
From 16 to 18.
Yeah.
And I remember
that's a long-term relationship for a high school student.
And he asked me to marry him.
Oh.
And I said yes. Because I felt like this is how codependent I am. Like I nearly married somebody because I didn't want him to feel sad.
Yeah.
You know. And so he said, okay, I'm going to go into Brooklyn. I'm going to get you the ring. And, you know, I'm going to surprise you. And then, I don't know, a few days.
How did he say he was going to surprise you when he was going to go get the ring?
I don't know. It made sense to him somehow. And so then a few days passed. And, you know, I'm like, oh, so did you get the ring? He's like, nah, I couldn't find the one I wanted. And then he, like, sprang it on me. Like, he did, because he pulled the fast
one. He did surprise you.
See? That's how he did it.
Gus, you know what you're doing.
He's fast.
Was it inside a bowl of chowder?
Yeah.
I had to eat the whole bowl at the bottom. It was really milky and weird when I got to it.
And so then I was like, ooh, hey, you know what?
You know. Did you, but you accepted the ring or you couldn't?
I still have it.
Okay,
no,
great,
I'm kidding.
Great.
No, so he took it back and, you know, and but it was just one of those things where I had dated like a couple of guys and had crushes on like super massive crushes on guys. But I just, again, like was so shy. Like I could kind of joke around with them, be like, you're such an asshole. Why isn't he asking me out?
Right, you know what I mean? Right.
But so this was the first one. In other words, he was old enough to kind of see through that and take it as a challenge, which I think a lot of guys my age were like, I guess she doesn't like me. You know?
Right.
So, and I didn't have a lot of confidence. Like I was, you know, I was cute, but I was, I didn't have it all together. And but it was like one of those things where he was my first boyfriend and it was almost like he was my boyfriend because he wanted to be rather than like, I love him or even like him, you know?
And you were going to maybe marry him.
I will never forget this because there were a few things leading up to my like turn away from him. Just, I remember we were in like an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood or something and he just started making like these sort of racist comments.
And you were
and
like,
I was,
hold up. These are my people.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So Gus was not Jewish.
No. And, he really was like, look at him. They think they're better than us. Fucking
no,
you know,
thank
you. And I was like, oh, yeah. Want to get a smoothie? Like I just was, you know.
Yeah.
And then, I wanted to go to, you know, school in, New York and he was like, you know, you should go to Ocean County Community College. We get a house and it's what you put into it. And I was like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. But then, and I remember one time we had knowledge of each other, biblical knowledge.
That's how I talk about it on the podcast.
Right.
I refuse to refer to it in any other way.
Right. Abomination talk. Mm-hmm. That's what you say on abomination.
That's right.
But I remember like I was laying there sort of post coitally and like staring up at the ceiling and he like put his arm on me or something like that. He was asleep and I was like, I'm going to vomit.
Oh God.
If he touches me again.
Oh no.
Like what, who is this person?
Yeah.
This is not, certainly not in the first few weeks of being engaged. You shouldn't feel that way.
That's an interesting and upsetting feeling for me to imagine a teenage girl having. I think it's probably fairly common maybe in certain social circles where you kind of end up doing things because they're just happening.
Yeah.
And it's it's not consensual, but that doesn't mean that you love what's happening.
Yeah, and he was actually, he was a gentleman. Like he was not just like out to, you know, get, have sex or anything like that. And he was in many ways like a really good person. Mm-hmm. And funny and sweet and all those things, but also racist and sexist and stupid and, you know, violent and was dealing cocaine and, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, you know, it just was one of those things where I was like, oh, I'm just doing this because he wants me. Like, how sad is that?
Right.
You know, and I just saw my life flashing before my eyes. And, like, my mom married a guy who's my dad, who's a great guy, but you know, she married when she was 18 and he was 6 years older than her. And I was like, you know, and I was like, I am not going to wind up in Ocean County, New Jersey, like in a trailer, you know, waitressing the evening shift. You know, I'm not. And, you know, thank God, like I at least had that moment of clarity, even though it was kind of like disturbing.
Right.
But yeah, it's, I think it is. It's like important every now and then to just kind of like really be quiet and take a look around at your life and be like, wait a minute. Like if there was a camera capturing this right now, what would I, you know, what would I feel about this? So, you know.
And did you, and when you got out of that relationship, how did that end? I mean, you I guess you told me that you sort of said, I can't do this.
I did.
Was it, and
I
was he done it, after that? Like,
I did it somewhat gently. I'm like, I'm having second thoughts. I'm just not sure about this. Can we, you know, can we wait? And then it was like, I think maybe we should see other people, you know? And then, oh my God, this is so sad. But I got a job, which I loved, as a singing waitress at an ice cream parlor.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Perfect.
And there was like a lot of improv and stuff. So it was kind of like doing sketch comedy, but it was like being on SNL. Is what I'm saying, Jenna.
I would have loved that job too, though.
Yeah. And it had like big, I guess, not bay windows, but really big windows. And it was like really close to the ocean. So you could see a lot of the sidewalk traffic and stuff and a lot of tourists. And I remember him like standing outside one of those windows, like just showing up with, and he had like a big teddy bear that he was holding that he'd gotten for me. And like that was going to make it all better. You know?
Yeah.
I thought I wanted to head in this direction with my life. But teddy bear?
Like, yeah, no. I mean, I really, that feels like it's right out of a movie. It really does. This sort of young woman who's like, I really suspect that there's more for me out there than this teddy bear.
And again, like that's a perfectly valid dream to have.
Teddy bear's belly was full of cocaine.
Right.
And he's like, I need you to take this
across
the border.
Oh my God, that's a good story. That's a good story. Uh-oh. I did a European tour of hair and there was, it involved a teddy bear with cocaine.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding.
How could I have anticipated that? When did this happen?
That was post-college. And we used to call it like the get out of debt tour because you could just, you know, they were awful. You know, they were not quality shows for the most part. Good people in
through?
Them.
What was it through?
Some awful company.
And you were in New York by this point.
I think I was. I was in New York, and this was a European tour. So you went to all these weird, like we like performed at an ice skating rink in a kindergarten. Like, you know, and it made no sense. We'd go from like Austria to so you know, I don't, you know, to England, and then we'd go back to like, it just, it made no sense at all. And like people absconded with money. But I remember, I was in college at this point, and I remember I came back and that was the only time I think that I had done cocaine was on that trip in Europe. I tried some and I loved it. And I was like, I can never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I had the good sense with that because it was expensive, you know? So I was like, that's a bad thing for me because I love caffeine and you know, nicotine and all that stuff. And I remember I was at a party with my really good friend Skip and I was like, Skip, I can't believe it. I did cocaine. And he said, Mary, you've done cocaine twice before, honey. You just don't remember.
Oh, no.
Don't you remember you threw me up against a wall?
Oh, no.
In front of people? No.
You didn't remember?
Nope.
Did you not? And so it wasn't a situation where you'd done it unknowingly at the time. You had done it knowing it was cocaine and you forgot?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And horrifying.
Yes.
And what was the teddy bear? How did the teddy bear come
in? The teddy bear was like, it was a vehicle through which, a holy grail, if you will. That I think there were two different touring companies that would occasionally sort of pass each other.
Oh no.
In our, whatever we were in, I think we were in ZZ Top's tour buses or something. And,
there's so many side stories I don't even have time to spit off into
it's
that
really,
I'm fascinated
it's
by.
It's pretty mind boggling.
You've
it's
had
like,
a life.
I should be
m'lady.
85. But, so I think one of the companies, and we knew a few people on the other companies, passed a teddy bear that they'd bought for us as a gift to us. And
crazy times, Mary Birdsong.
So yeah.
What kind of, when you were a theater kid and when you were in high school, were you also, like what kind of music were you listening to? Were you going to movies? Did you feel connected? Because I know it was a small town. Did you feel connected to popular culture in that way? Or were you really kind of focused in on like, this is the musical?
Yeah, like another like really clear memory, and she knows this. Hey, Jen Reisig, if you're listening.
What's up, Jen?
Jen Reisig was a she came here, I think, when she was very, very little from Korea. She was Korean and she was really tiny, but like so tough. Like I was terrified of her when I would see her like at Ralph's Arcade playing Ms. Pac-Man.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh my God, she's such a badass. I'm so scared of her.
Yeah.
And like literally like 4'10". But you did not mess with Jen Reisig. And she thought I was a snob, apparently, because I was painfully shy. But we hooked up as friends, you know. And I remember, like, she had this teeny tiny house. Because a lot of the houses on Long Beach Island are little, like, bungalows for tourists to, like, rent for the weekend.
Sure. But perfect for a weekend, but you wouldn't want to live there full time.
Right. And that's where I lived is one of those, too.
Yeah.
And so I remember sitting on her bed. And, like, her room was so small. Like, you could barely fit a bed and a stereo.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a teenager, like, that's kind of all you need. And, like, a place to throw your clothes. And I remember sitting on her bed, and it was, like, the lights were out. And she touched me in a way. No. And she,
I'm fine with that.
Right. And we were listening to Bryan Adams.
Great.
I mean, Cuts Like a Knife.
Great.
Summer of 69.
Great.
Come on.
Yeah.
Still, to this
day. He still got it.
When I hear that, I'm like, oh, my God.
By the way, everybody loves that song, The Summer of 69. Come on. Who doesn't love that song?
And
I defy you.
But I remember like us playing it over and over again and just like talking about like Jeff Stark and, you know, whatever, Kevin Mazzie or something. I don't even know what their names were, but just so in it, like so like in that moment of teenagerism.
Yeah.
You know? And like, and it was okay. Like it was a small, shitty little like house and a shitty little bed and a crap stereo. But I was like, yeah, Summer of 69. We're going to be rock stars next year.
Yeah.
You know, so there was that. You know, there was one record store, the Island Record Shop. And oh my God, this is going to, I'm so old. This is back when you listened to records and we would go there and like you would wait for like, say, Rick Springfield to come out with a single. Right. And you would go to the record shop and be like, do you have Jesse's Grill in yet?
Uh-huh.
No. Okay. Wait, can I leave my number and you can call me when it comes in?
That's great.
You know, and you would buy the 45 and you'd be like, what's on the B side?
Yeah.
And you know, and then you'd go play it on your ginormous stereo. That was like encased in an oak cabinet that wasn't oak to begin with.
Sure.
But, you know, so there was that, like, there just wasn't a lot to do.
Yeah.
So you would like go to the record store and try to find records. You would maybe go to like Surf Unlimited and like shop for OP shorts that you couldn't afford.
Did you surf or anything like that?
I didn't surf.
Yeah.
I really wanted to, but, I didn't catch that wave, so to speak. So
did you have a sense of, sorry to interrupt, I'm wondering if you had a sense of the sort of like tourists versus townies.
Oh yeah.
Is there sort of a separation, like a class separation?
Yeah,
there?
Definitely. We love to make fun of them, which, you know, they were the livelihood of everybody on the island, so
yeah.
But we called them shoobies mostly.
Okay.
I think it's either because they would take their they would leave their shoes on when they got to the beach.
Interesting.
You know, and like we prided ourselves somehow on our tough feet.
Uh-huh.
You suck because you have baby feet. Really?
I can see that.
That was super cool if you could, you know, stand it.
Break a bottle with your toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was back when like kids would just run amok, you know, in the streets, like until dark, you know? And we lived literally like paces from the ocean. So that part about growing up there was really cool. But yeah, the shoobies, we love to make fun of them. Like they think the seagulls are penguins. we just thought it was hilarious if they asked for directions, you know, like that's so funny. That's so funny that you don't live here and you don't know where that is.
Right.
So yeah, so we made fun of the tourists, but we also were excited because when the tourists came, it was a whole new batch of boys, you know, and again, going back to the Jewish thing, like there was this kid, Jeff Stark. If you're listening, Jeff, I'm still single.
Wonderful.
But Jeff Stark was exotic. He was really dark skinned. He was Jewish. He was from Paramus. And he went, I remember he went to like, right?
Right.
He went to Upper Saddle River Day School. Right? I think he was rich too.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm surprised like I didn't get committed to a home. I was that obsessed with like Jeff Stark. You know what I mean? Like when you're that in
Have you written about this? I know you've done a bunch of different shows.
I haven't written about Jeff Stark because it's too painful.
I understand.
No.
I just think this whole story is so, I mean, it's just, yeah. It's just,
it's a really, yeah, it was a really kind of interesting, weird, special place to grow up. And again, like my mom, we grew up there because when my mom was getting a divorce from my dad, we lived in North Jersey, like near Paramus and where Jeff Stark was from and stuff, close to New York. And my mother was like, they were selling the house and she wasn't sure where we were going to move to. And she was just driving and she got lost on the parkway and she saw a sign for Long Beach Island, New Jersey. And she just kept driving.
Oh my God.
And it was so beautiful. What a lovely place, you know. And so it's like real, that's okay. You, so did you check out the schools or like job opportunities? Yeah. Nope. Nope.
She was just magnetically drawn there. Yeah.
And then she bought us a horse.
Oh.
And then we didn't have any money.
Oh yeah, horses are expensive.
Yeah, we had to sell it. But it's like that's the classic like my mom thing to do is like they need to ride an animal and know the power of that beauty. And you know, oh shit, now we're on welfare. Like
right, right. Like,
you know,
what was the horse's name?
Oh God, there was Princess, was my sister's horse, and I got to. It wasn't my horse, but I got to ride Arrowhead.
Two horses.
Yeah.
Oh, Mom.
I know it. I know. And my, I did write a show about that. And I'm like, oh, if only we could have lived inside of her.
That's right.
Yeah. And thankfully, like, I've kind of, it was hard for me to get a handle on finances because of the way I grew up. Like, if you got money, you got rid of it as soon as possible.
Sure.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, spend it. Spend it on something.
Yeah.
And so... It was a foreign concept to me to kind of like save or to like try and have a good credit rate, like all that stuff.
That stuff creeps in ways you do not have any idea.
Yeah.
Is affecting you and influencing you. Like I feel like I have a very similar relationship to money that my parents had. And I certainly them being divorced, but they're very much the same about how they handle money. And I don't remember ever actively deciding to learn that lesson or to, you know, sort of do what they do. I just,
yeah,
it got in there in ways I had no idea it was getting in there.
Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah.
I want to play this MASH game with you.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to come up with some customized categories. I mean, listen, some of them are perennial favorites that I think will probably do well for you. But I want to start out with three. Well, listen, I know you to be an extremely talented musical person. So I'm going to start with three bands or singer-songwriters from any era, alive or dead, three that you wish you could have sung with or perform with.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Just their names?
Yeah, just like, you know, you want to sing with Led Zeppelin and I need three.
Okay. I'm trying to think from when I was younger.
Anytime. Could be someone who's still alive now. Could be a band from the 1940s. Could be anything. Just three.
Well, definitely. I mean, I have to say Judy Garland. I just have to because she's been a huge... Great. Part of my life. So Judy Garland, as far as bands go, I mean, I was pretty obsessed with Pat Benatar.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That seems right.
She was just playing in LA, by the way, with her husband. She's still married to the same man.
I think that's the most wonderful thing I've ever heard.
And he's her guitarist.
And we all know how tough that is because love is a battlefield.
It is a battlefield.
And they made it work. All right. I'm putting Pat Benatar in here without any more hesitation.
And, it's so obvious, but I'm going to have to go with Journey. Like I listen to a lot.
Oh no, that's great.
There's so many choices.
That's so great. I would love for you to perform with Journey. Now that's my goal. It seems more likely somehow than these other two. Well, certainly more than Judy Garland. I don't know about Pat Benatar though. You could maybe hop up on stage with that one.
Who knows?
Okay. Next question will be, three places you would like to have a vacation home. Now, not in this world.
Not in this world.
In a fictionalized place. So it could be another planet, could be under the water, in the ocean. It could also be, you know, where the hobbits live. It could be the Death Star. Just any three places that aren't actually real places that you could
have. But do they have to be known fictional places or places I just make up in my head?
You know what? I'll accept you making something up. Surprise me.
I'll accept that.
I'm the judge, jury, and executioner of this game.
Let me think. Well, let me think if I can think of an actual, if there is such a thing as an actual fake fictional place. Like, oh gosh, what are my favorite movies?
Right. could even be that. It could even be, I could merge two categories that I sometimes do separately, which is, it could also be like your vacation home is inside of just a movie. So whether that's like,
okay.
What I mean? Like you could go your vacation home could be you disappear into Sense and Sensibility or whatever.
Oh, right.
She said naming one of her favorite movies as if it was no big deal.
Well, definitely, I would want to live in a fictional, like, His Girl Friday kind of land.
Oh, okay.
Like,
all right.
I would just, you know, I'd wear pencil skirts and be like, swell, Daddy, let's meet there.
Yeah,
you know, you
Got it.
Bring me up. But the strength, I don't know, just like that whole...
Sassy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
And how about... Oh, God. Is there such a thing as, like... vintage store land?
Sure. Listen, I'm in.
Getting back to our idea of forever 1921.
Yes, indeed.
Great. And one more, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to, did I say Gone with the Wind?
No.
Let's go with Gone with the Wind.
You did now. Okay. Next one I'm going to just do so I don't forget about it, which is classic MASH. Three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a sexual escapade type scenario. Could be a alternate universe husband. However much or little you would like to spend with this person. Three, living or dead, could be the characters from movies. Ideally, it's at least someone that someone has heard of because it's more fun for the listener.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo.
Fantastic.
Without hesitation.
No one's going to argue with that.
Gregory Peck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And...
Ugh, I just wrote Greg Pep. Peck, because it was shorter, and it just looks like an abomination.
Greg Peck.
It's an abomination talk. All right.
And I'm trying to think of who I was really into
crazy
when I was
about.
Young.
Yeah.
Strangely, because he was so much older than me, Lindsay Buckingham.
Okay.
From Fleetwood Mac, who I hear is kind of an asshole now, which upsets me.
This is imaginary Lindsay Buckingham. Or Lindsay Buck.
But that was a thing of high school. Like, I was never into, like, the ones that were in Tiger Beat that I was supposed to be into. I was like, they look like girls.
Same.
Why do they look like they know they're pretty?
Yeah.
And so I liked, you know, these sort of exotic, older, smart guys.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you didn't have not to be too psychoanalytical, but you didn't have, like, a father figure.
Right, right.
Listen, I just annoyed myself. okay, next one is one of my personal favorites. Three foods that have some sort of a quote-unquote negative impact on you now, whether it's, you know that it would make you sick to your stomach or it makes you fat or whatever it is that keeps you from being able to indulge in these foods whenever you want. But three, where in this world, not only can you have them at the snap of a finger, but they're also good for you. And it can be as specific as, like, there's this one... pastry at blah blah blah, or it could just be like, you know,
and so they're foods that
meatballs.
I cannot touch right now,
or just that you couldn't have as much of because for whatever reason.
Okay. I'm gonna say one is which not as much now is it a problem, but rice. That involves a really bad incident at a Jamaican restaurant where I had too many red stripe, man.
Okay,
wow, could never ever, you know, I couldn't unsee that.
No.
So
okay, rice, I got it.
Can I just be something I hate,
but that you in this world can have and you don't hate it?
Oh, then I don't think there is a world where I would not hate this one thing I was thinking
of. Well, I don't want you to have that. I want you to have the things that you can't let yourself have now that you get to indulge in.
Oh, okay. Oh, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Great.
Hands down.
Did you still want rice?
Huh?
You still want rice? Did you not understand the question?
I didn't understand the question.
Okay,
I thought
I'm
it was
getting
like
rid of rice.
I thought it was like things that you have like a Vietnam flashback about.
No.
See them.
It's like there's a cupcake at blah 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 bakery that I would eat every day if I could.
Forbidden.
It's not good for me. Exactly.
Verboten.
Exactly. I over-explained it and therefore did a bad job.
So yeah, definitely Reese's peanut butter cups.
Great.
Fried chicken.
There you
biscuits.
Go. Yep.
With lots of butter.
Wonderful. And butter. Love it, love it, love it.
My mom's from Louisiana, so they made really good fried chicken.
What about three musicals that it's likely you may not play a character, male or female, in that would have been really fun for you to have done, like on Broadway?
A show called Gospel at Colonus, which I believe Morgan Freeman was in.
Wonderful.
but it's all black.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's a good use of this. That's yes. a good use of this MASH game.
And what else? What else? What else? Oh, Les Mis. There Les Mis. Go. I desperately wanted to be Eponine. Although that I could have been cast in, but not now, certainly. Right.
I don't know.
Let's see. What were the musicals I really loved? See, that's the funny thing. I really love being in musicals. I don't necessarily want to watch
no,
them.
No, I agree. I feel like I have people. I say that about musicals all the time. I love performing in them, but I never, ever am in the mood to see them. But that's why this is good, because this is performing. So this is like...
Right. I guess I could say... I wouldn't mind being in South Pacific and washing sure. that man out of my hair.
Oh, yeah. That was always a song that, like, we did that as, like, the sort of medley through the years in musical theater of eighth grade.
It's oh,
like,
really?
It's like, you know, we covered, like...
That was your go-to?
Yeah, we did that, but then I think we did, like, in the 80s, we did something from Greece, and, oh, you know, great. In the 50s, we did, like, it would have been... That was Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair. I never did the whole musical, but I remember that.
Do I want to see that?
You want to swap out anything?
No.
Okay. All right.
I stand by. All right. Stand by my answers.
Next category will be three friends that are people or characters from history or from fiction or from television even that are like your bud. Like three people that, again, it could be actual writers or artists or whatever. It could also just be like Marty McFly. Three people that you're like, oh, this is somebody that I will never hang out with, but I wish that I could just call and hang out with.
Judy Garland.
Right.
I think also Maggie Smith.
Oh, good
in
one.
Anything in which she's looking very indignant.
Wonderful.
And who else would I want to hang out with? Gilda Radner.
Yeah, great. God, she would have loved you.
I don't know if those were answers that like I actually want to be them or, you know, but sometimes those are the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. How about three skills that you wake up with, three skills you could wake up with tomorrow that you've sort of, you're an expert at and you didn't even have to do anything to learn. You just wake up tomorrow and you're amazing at.
If they could be anything?
Yeah.
The ability to play any instrument, like read music, like that kind of.
Yep.
And because I sing a lot, but I just never learned, you know. What else? Oh, I don't know if this counts, but if I could wake up with the skill of wanting to exercise before I do anything else.
Absolutely.
Like I exercise.
I will totally accept that. Desire.
But not as soon as I'm out of bed.
Yep.
That's not going to happen.
Yep. Love it. I would take that.
And, oh, I think, oh, does this count as a skill? Maybe not. Not giving a shit what anybody thinks about
me. Oh, no, I accept that 100%.
Yeah.
I'm just putting carefree, but we know what that means.
I so am tempted to put that on my resume, like at the bottom under special skills.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about what you think of me. Just to see if they're reading, like just to see if they're paying attention.
Absolutely. Okay, and then the last one will be if, let's see. What do I want to do for you? What is our last one? How about three places and times that you would be fun to sort of pop your head into and check out and see what was going on?
Oh,
during.
Wow. I'd love to check out the Renaissance.
Great.
I would also love to go back to like some crazy long time ago, like, I don't know, 25,000 years ago.
Great.
And also I think the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay. All right. Now, final piece of this before I do some calculating and, reveal your MASH future is, for you to tell me when to stop.
Oh, so you're calculating right now and I'm supposed to tell you when
to stop? I'm just doing a thing that's going to enable me to calculate.
I don't understand.
You just have to tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. All right. I'm going to pause this. I'm going to do some calculating. Then I'm going to come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
Woo!
Guys, I want you to be rested assured. We'll feel as if no time has passed to you. All right, here we go. I think you'll be pleased with the outcome of this MASH game. I'm very pleased with it. I want to reassure you that you may have as much biscuits and butter, delicious biscuits and butter, as your heart could desire with absolutely no physical ramifications whatsoever.
Yay.
This seems like the right kind of thing for you to be indulging in your vacation home in Gone with the Wind world.
Yay.
The house. You got a house, you know, mansion, apartment, shack, and house. You
biscuits end up with and a very butter and a house.
And a house in Gone with the Wind land. You also have the ability to travel to the 1920s, the roaring 20s.
Yay.
I see that as being a very positive experience.
Maybe
for you.
I lived long enough after Gone with the Wind house.
That's right.
Because I'm a 200-year-old woman in the 1920s.
You're a vampire. You are also dear, dear friends with Ms. Gilda Radner. So Ms. Gilda Radner, Mrs. Gene Wilder. You have performed with Pat Benatar.
Yay.
And will again. You have also performed in Gospel at Colonus. So congratulations on that. And that just leaves us with your partner in crime, Mr. Lindsay Buckingham.
Yay!
You got some good stuff here.
Lay me down in tall grass and let me do my stuff.
Perfect. Perfect. Mary Super Birdsong, fun. That concludes our podcast.
I'm going to shake your hand.
Let's officially shake hands. would you like to tell the fine listeners about your own projects that they should check out? If so, please do so right now.
Please follow me on Twitter, because that's all that matters now, apparently.
That's right.
I used to invite people to shows. Now I'm just just fucking click a button. Can you click a fucking button? No, it's at Mary Birdsong at Twitter. Mm-hmm. And also please check out my dream drawings. I fancy myself an artist these days.
I have seen, you sent me a picture of a self-portrait that I was astounded at how
so I draw my dreams every morning.
I think that's so cool.
So I can remember them. And
I got to check this out. I had no idea.
Yeah. So you can go to my, you know, Mary Birdsong website or birdsongdreambook.com.
Birdsongdreambook.com. I'm going to go there right now as soon as I finish this, for God's sake.
Thank God you. This was fun.
This was great. I just think you're wonderful. And I thank you. And I bid everyone a good day.
Good day.
It's most sincerely yours, Janet Barney. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.